So we're on the top of Daf Yutes Omer Aleph. We just have to read the name of the person who's speaking. That's on the bottom of Yudalin Omer Beis. And that's Rabba Barav Huna. So just to summarize, we had a brisa that Rav interpreted. Rabba is now going to suggest an alternative interpretation. The brisa was very strange, because when you read the brisa literally, which you'll see about 10 lines up from the bottom of Yudalit Amid Beis, the brisa makes no sense. Because he's talking about someone who steals a field, and the field is taken away from him, presumably by its rightful owner, and now it says Kishahu Goveh. So the pronoun Kishahu seems to relate to the Gazlan himself. And he wants to collect for the loss of that karka, which was taken away from his possession. So the Gemara says that makes no sense. Ilei mekidik tani, meaning if you don't switch some, if you don't change some screw here, some bolt, then Gazlan be my govit. If who is referring to the Gazlan, who is the Gazlan collecting from? Who owes money to the Gazlan? No one owns money to the Gazlan. So Rava says that we're talking about the Nigzal. And the Nigzal is coming to collect for his loss. What does that mean? After all, he's getting back his karka. Why does he have any recourse to collect for his loss? And the answer is because of two reasons. This was the end of yesterday's discussion. Number one, the field was full of peros when it was stolen. The Gazlan, in the meantime, harvested and consumed all those peros. I don't mean he necessarily ate them himself, he may have marketed them, but in any event, the Nigzal takes a loss of peros. And number two, the Gazlan damaged the field. So the field is depreciated, it's no longer worth what it was worth at the time that it was stolen. Which means that the Nigzal wants to have recourse to get back not just his karka, but also to be paid for both peros, which he lost, and the damaging to the karka itself, which he lost. And here's where the brisa makes the following distinction. As far as the Gazlan is concerned, if he's got money in his bank account, then the Nigzal has a right to demand the original value of the field with its peros. So from the Gazlan, the Nigzal has rights to claim, that's called B'nei Chori, he can claim both peros and the loss of the kark. I mean to say the damaging depreciation of the kark. However, if the Nigzal cannot collect that from the Gazlan, and the reason for that is because the Gazlan simply has no money in his bank account, and now the Nigzal wants to collect from the Lekuchos, those who purchased leaned property from this Gazlan, so then the halacha is that he can only claim the Keren, which means the original value on the market of this karka before the damages. So let's say, for example, originally the karka was worth 110, now it's worth only 100 because of the damages of the Gazlan. The Nigzal has recourse to collect 110 from the Lekuchos, from Mishubadin. But he cannot sue and collect from the Lekuchos for Peros. And the reason for that is because Peros are never included in a Shibud. They are called Metaltalin. When you have fruits that grew in a field and they're perfectly mature and ripe, ready for the plucking, those are called Metaltalin. When the karka, whatever karka it was purchased by the Lekeach, and that karka has a shibud, in this case to pay up the Nigzal, that shibud is only on karkos, it's not on metaltalin. Hence, as far as the value of the karka is concerned, I'm talking about the original karka that was stolen, the Gazlan I'm sorry, the Nigzal has rights to say there's a shibud on the full value of the karka, as it was stolen from me, the 110 value, that he can collect from the lekuchos. But he cannot collect the peros from the mishubada, meaning from the lekuchos, because as far as the lekuchos is concerned, the status of the peros is that of metaltalin, and there's no shibud on metaltalin. Now we're going to learn Rabba Bar Rav Huna. He has a different interpretation of this brisa. He too is trying to answer this paradox, this anomaly about the language of the brisa, because the brisa seems to indicate that it's the Gazlan himself, after the karka was taken away from him, that he is suing someone, and that's called Bal Ligvos, which makes no sense, because Gazlan Miman Gavi. Says Rabbi Bar Bar Chana, what's the case in the brisa? Kigon. Here on the top of Dafnun of Tesvav, Kigon Shinitoluha Masikin. Okay, so let's talk a little bit about Masikin. What happens is that the government confiscates properties. We're talking about a despotic, tyrannical, non-Jewish government that tries to extort money and possessions from Jews. And in this case, the Gazlan, who steals karka, when the governmental agents come by and they want to confiscate karka, they're hungry, you know, to fill their cap, their quota of how much karka they have to abscond with for the sake of the king or whoever it is. So the ganav says, you know what? He turns to the agent and he says, take this karka. I mean, easy come, easy go. I mean, the Gazlan stole the karka. It was never his to begin with. So why, instead of allowing the agent to collect from one of his karkos, he says, collect from this karka. Obviously, he doesn't tell the agent that it's stolen karka. So when the Gazlan points out this particular sada, this particular karka, and he says, take this one, and the Masikin, who are these agents of the government, they take away that karka, then the Gazlan has to pay the Nigzal for this karka. What do I mean? Although it's true that every Gazlan has to pay for a field, and if the field is gone, let's say, the field was inundated, and it's worthless, so the Gazlan would have to pay the value, the sale value, price value of that karka as it was when it was stolen, at the time it was stolen. So I don't understand Kilu the Chiddush over here, because if the karka was still in the possession of the Gazlan, he's got to return it to the Nigzal. And if it's gone because the Masikin took it away, then certainly he has to pay its value to the Nigzal, to the Nigzal. But the Chiddush here is that the Gazlan didn't gain anything from this theft. He didn't sell it and get money for it. So Mimanashach, he can't return the karka because the Masikin took over the karka. He's now going to have to pay out of pocket for what? For the fact that he pointed to this karka, told the governmental agents, take this karka. The Havamina would have been, if not for this brisa, that the Gazlan is off the hook. Why? Because he can't return the karka because it was taken away by the Masikin. That's not his doing. And even though he was the one who sacrificed this karka, but nevertheless, that's only Grumma bin Ezekiel. The agents were coming to fill their quota and confiscate karka. He pointed them in the direction of this karka. Does that make him into a mazik? And he has now the laws of someone who has to compensate for destruction or the loss of somebody else's property. It wasn't he who caused the loss of somebody's property, it was the agent who confiscated the karka. So the chiddush here of this brisa is that no, that the Gazlan has to pay for the karka. Okay, now what happens? Bun Nigzal Ligvos, the owner of the karka, comes to collect. So what does he collect? And what does he have rights to collect? Well, in truth, he wants to collect two things. He wants to collect the sale value of the karka, which was stolen from him, and he wants to get money to compensate himself for the peiros, because there were fruits on the karka, and those fruits accrued to him, meaning he's the rightful owner, he's the nigzal, and now he wants to collect. So he's going to collect now from, presumably, the gazlan. What does he collect from the gazlan? Number one, he wants the keren, which is the sale value of the karka. Number two, he wants the peros. So this brisa, the way Rav Huna, I'm sorry, this Rava Bar Rav Huna is interpreting it, is gover keren. He can collect, just 1 second. So from the gazlan himself, he, the nigzal, will collect everything. He'll collect the keren and the peros. However, if the gazlan has no money in his bank account, now the nigzal has recourse to collect from mishubadim in karka that was subsequently sold to the lokeach. From the lokeach, the brisa says, Karen, gove minichasim shubadim. He can go to the lokeach and collect from the lokeach the market value of this karka. But if he's coming to claim peros, then, as we said before, there's no shibud on peros. Peros are called metaltolin, even though they're still physically attached to the ground. Is gover minichasim minechorin, he can only collect from the nigzal himself. So again, as far as keren is concerned, the nigzal has rights to collect from mishubadim. As far as peros are concerned, he can only collect from the nigzal himself, which is called minechorin. He cannot claim any collection rights from the lokeach with regard to peros. So now the Gemara wants to know, why is it that Rava preferred his interpretation of Raisa and Rava Bar Rav Huna his? What was this one's objection to that interpretation and vice versa? So Gemara says the following: Rava lo amar ki Rava Bar Rav Huna, because the brisa says, quote, harehi yotzeis mitachas yado, which means that the karka that was stolen is now being removed from the hands of the gazlan and presumably returned to the hands of the nigzal, its proper owner. And you know, there are courts for this. You know, the nigzal has, you know, is going to avail himself of the judges and tell them, look, this fellow stole my karka, and here's my proof that it's my karka. Is harehi yotzeis mitachas yado, the nigzal has rights to get back his karka, bidino mashma, meaning according to the the legal procedures that have to take place, and that doesn't fit with Rabbah, because according to Rabbah, we're not talking about getting the field. If the field was absconded by the Masikim, you know, they are basically, yeah, I don't know how to define them. I mean, if they're working on behalf of the government, so the government exercised its rights to take this karka. How's the nigzal going to get his karka back? I don't know. If, on the other hand, let's assume these masikim were operating illegally, they were extorting this karka, then I don't know how the nigzal is going to go to Bezdin, and he's going to appear in front of the courts, and he's going to get his karka, which was taken illegally, back through the judges from these I don't know what to call them. Again, I don't have a better word, but I call them extortionists. There's no way that the nigzal could avail himself of the legal system to get back his karka. Not in the case of Masikin. So what does it mean? He yotzeis mitachas yodo. The phrase of the Braisa, says Rava, irritates me if you go with Rava Bar Avuna. Because if it's a case of a masikin, what does it mean? Hakarka yotzeis mitachas yodo. Mitachas yodo means is trefa. Trefa means the toref. Toref means that the Bezdin will confiscate the karka in order to give it and reallot it to its rightful owner. But that's not going to happen in the case of Masikin. No way, no how.
I have a question.
Go ahead, please.
Rashi on Shenaflu HaMasikin talks about Anasim Akum Shenaflu HaMin HaGazlon Hu Machamato.
Machmato means the Gazlan pointed to this karka. He said to these Anasim, this is the karka that you want. He starts praising the karka, you know, he convinces them that this is the karka that they want.
The Steinsaltz on this.
Oh yeah?
Said that there's some kind of a relationship, a prior relationship between the Masikin and the Gazlan. Even in Rashi it says, Snaga Baba Kama Hagozo Sadami Habero Kuna Kaloha Masikin. Im Machamat HaGazlan, what does that mean, Im Machamat HaGazlan?
Yeah, I thought that the way I understood it, but again, you'll tell me what the good rabbi has to say. I understood that the Masikin have a choice of different karkos, and when the Masikin come into town, and they have to fill their quota, as I described before, this Gazlan says, come over here, I have a perfect karka for you, take this karka. He doesn't want to take the loss. He wants the Nigzal to take the loss. So he brings the Masikin and steers them in the direction of this karka. But you're saying the rabbi has a whole different shot?
Well, it's not a whole different. I'll read what it says here.
Go ahead. Right, all that is exactly what we said, but he adds something here which I don't know where he got it from, that Biglal is Keim HaKodmim Im HaGazlan. I don't know, honestly, I don't know what he means. It might be a brilliant elucidation, and he's shedding a new light on this Gemara. I can only tell you he's looking for some, I think, again, I'm not sure what his source is, but he's looking for some psychological background here as to why the Masikin came to knock on the door of this Gazlan. But I don't know what he means by Iskeim HaKodmim. I don't know what is he? Is he the representative of the Jewish people to these Masikin? I don't know. You know, he doesn't fill in. He doesn't flesh it out. If you know what I'm saying.
Comes from Talmid Rabbeinu Peretz. That's where so, this interpretation comes from.
Yeah. So again, I don't know what these Talmidim of Rabbeinu Peretz are talking about. If you get a chance to get access to the Talmidim of Rabbeinu Peretz, or if there are footnotes there, maybe, then maybe you'll figure out what he has in mind here about his Keim HaKodmim. I mean, I have a feeling that if you look in Rabbeinu Peretz, you'll find a little bit more there. He's just probably summarizing Rabbeinu Peretz.
The Rashi says that there's a Rambam that says, Gazal Sadeh Evani Zalami Menu. Medina parashal chalafanecha. V'him machamat ha-gazlan nilkecha chayav l'ha'amid lo sadeh acheret.
Right, that's fine, but I just don't know what this Kayam HaKodman means. I mean, what dealings, in other words, who is this Goslin in the eyes of the Masikin? Is he some sort of a representative of the Jewish people? I don't know.
Rambam says, Machamat HaGazlan. What does that mean?
Yeah, again, I just told you what I thought it means. We can fight this out, you know. The only trouble is we're not seeing each other face to face, so it's going to be hard for you to punch me in the nose here. Yeah, Yossi. I don't know if you can punch someone over the internet. But I just said Machmato. I thought meant that somehow this Gazlan maneuvered it in such a way. You know, he invited this Masikin. Now you're adding a whole thing of his scam. I code, but maybe there's some sort of some sort of background here as to, you know, what. What relationship the Gazlan has with the Masikin? I don't know. Maybe there's an underworld here that operates. I don't know.
Yeah,
but the main point I think is what we said, that it's the Gazlan who drags over the Masikin and says, "Hey man, this is my gentleman with the fancy ties. You know, your mafiosos. This is the character you want to take." Okay, now the Gemara wants to know why Rabbi Bar Avuhna objected to the interpretation of Rava. For Rava Barav Hunalo Omar Kirava, because he read the same words, Hare hi yotzeis mitachas yodo, and Be'eno Mashma. There's no indication, says Rava, in the language of the Braisa, that something has changed in the makeup and the quality of this karka. Rava came up with a whole story here, filling in the missing blanks, that the karka not only depreciated, so to speak, because of the lack of payros, which the Ganav was responsible for, but the Gazlan went ahead and he actively destroyed the karka by digging into the karka. That's like Divrei Nevuah. You know, it's like Rava was a prophet here. He came up with a whole new background to this Braisa, filling in a whole bunch of gaps in the Braisa. When the Braisa just says, Harei Yotzeis Mitachas Yodo, would presumably mean that the same identical karka that was stolen is now being confiscated by the Beis Din in favor of the Nigzal, because he's the rightful owner of the karka. Vushtet, where does it say here that the karka is a different piece of karka than it was when he stole it? Because in the interim, he dug ditches into the karka. Harei Yotzeis Mitachas Yodo means he's getting back the same karka that was stolen from him. So it's interesting, each one of the two, whether it's Rava or Rava Bar Avuhna, had a different take on these words, Harei Yotzeis Mitachas Yodo. Rava says, if you do a word search throughout Shas for the words Harei Yotzeis Mitachas Yodo, you'll see it's always through the agency of Beis Din. There's a court system, and that which is illegally in your possession is taken out of your possession by the court. That's called Beis Din. In the language of Rava, that's called Bedina Mashma. And Rava Bar Avuhna, in this particular point, is really Yodo Ala Tachtona. He's really, in a sense, outmaneuvered by Rava. But then Rava Bar Avuhna says, well, we have another rule in interpreting a braisa, and that is we don't add to the braisa things that are not written in. You can't just add a whole story here. It says he yotzeis mitachas yodo means the karka is being returned to its rightful owner. It doesn't say that it's qualitatively it's a different karka because in the meantime he damaged the karka. Now we have a third interpretation of this braisa. Again, we're still trying to defend Rav Nachman in the name of Shmuel, because again, Rav Nachman in the name of Shmuel wants to make a big deal about ribis, about mechzik ribis, And if this brisa is talking about a case of a gazlan who's paying back the nigzal, and that's called b'nei chori, and we're talking about the gazlan paying back more than what he received from the lokeach, right? So he sold the karka, and now in effect he's buying it back in order to return it to its rightful owner. Then we have a problem if we allow collection from the gazlan for payrolls, because then what's going to happen is that the gazlan is going to be paying the lokeach more than what the lokeach paid for the karka, because we're adding other fees and other penalties. Let's say, for example, for the payrolls. So we try to avoid that in order to protect and defend Rav Nachman in the name of Shmuel. And we had Rav's defense, and we had Rav Baruch Huna's defense. Their interpretations of Brisa make this Brisa perfectly palatable, even according to Rav Nachman. There's no issue of Mechsei Keribis. And finally, we have Rav Ashi, who's also coming to defend the Shita of Rav Nachman. And he says, Litzdadim K'tani. Litzdadim K'tani, to the best of my knowledge, is a methodology by which we take a brisa and we break it down into two different lawsuits. Right? In a lawsuit, we have a tovea and a nitba. And usually, intuitively, when we read a brisa, we assume that we can identify the tovea, we can identify the nitba. Comes along Rav Ashi, and he says, Litzdadim k'tani. There's a tovea and a nitba, and another tovea and a nitba. This brisa is addressing a very complicated case. Kigon, give me an example of Litzdadim k'tani in this brisa. So basically, I just want to say that, just methodologically, what we have here in the brisa is a discussion about two things. A discussion about keren, the sale price of the karka, and a discussion about peros. What we're going to say now, according to Rav Ashi, is that there are two different tovaim, right? There's a tovea on keren, and there's another tovea, somebody else, who's being tovea peros. And that's called litzdadim k'tani.
Okay,
was it a telegram? You know, in the old days, they used to say, it came, you know, the telegram finally came.
It didn't come. The email came.
Right. Oh, that's just as good as the telegram, right? After my father passed away, we went through some of his papers. And whenever we found the telegram, we knew it was an exciting telegram, you know. But today, who even... In the next generation, they don't even know what a telegram is. They've probably never heard of it, even. Society changes so fast. Kegon, shegazal sodem echavero melea peros, viachal es haperos. So watch what happens here. Rav Ashi is going to completely circumvent Rava's ukimta, that the Rice is talking about an additional element here of Hezek, of Chofer Bo Sichin Ma'oros, which the Nigzal wants to collect. And we're focused now on Peros. Now the Gazlan stole a field, and we're going to describe this field as Malaya Peros. And now who destroys these Peros? The Achal Esa Peros. That's the Gazlan. What's left? He's got a bald karka, meaning there's no peros on the karka, just neto karka. Umachar es hasode, and now he sells this sode. Okay? Now, after he sells the sadeh, the nigzal comes and he wants his sadeh back. Correct? But at the same time that the nigzal wants his sadeh back, the lokeach wants to get his money back because he paid full price for this sadeh. So if I understand Rav Ashi correctly, we now have litzdadim ketani because we have two tovim. We have one tovea, who we call the nigzal. He certainly wants to get back his karka, and he wants to get back his peros as well. And then we have another tovea, and that's the lokeach, because he purchased the karka, which was subsequently confiscated for the sake of the nigzal. Okay. So, bo lokeach ligvos keren. If the lokeach now wants to get the amount of money that he paid for this karka, so gove minichasim mishubadim. As we said many times, anybody who buys this karka has to realize that there's a lien on the karka. In this case, there's a lien on the karka to pay back the lokeach rishon, we'll call him, who put money down on a sale for a karka that was stolen, a stolen piece of land. So now the lokeach rishon has recourse to Mishubadim, to anyone who bought karka from this gazlan subsequent to the sale, to the Toveah, the first Lokeah. So he goes over to the Lokeah Sheni, right? So it's the first Lokeah going over to Lokeah Sheni, in a case where the gazlan defaults. And that's called Govim Minichasim Mishubadim. And bar nigzal ligvos peros. In other words, the lokeach has no rights to peros. Why doesn't he have any rights to peros? Notice, why can't he collect from the second lokeach to cover the peros? And the answer is because there's no shibud on the peros. Shibud is only on karka. So if he wants to collect the value of the karka from mishubadim, meaning from the second lokeach, that he can do, because that's called karka. The keren represents the karka. But if he comes to collect peros from mishubadim, that he can't do. So now we finished up with one Toveah. Who's this Toveah? That's the Lokeach who purchased stolen property. Now we have another Toveah. That's called Litzdadim Tani. And who is the second Toveah? That's the Nigzal. He wants to get back his karka. And he's gonna sue the Gazlan for the loss of the karka. But now he wants to sue the Gazlan for two different losses that he suffered. One is the Karen. Just one second. I don't mean the Karen in the sense of liquid assets. I mean Karen meaning the Kark itself. And he wants to force the Gazlan to pay for Peros. Here he's collecting for the Gazlan Peros, not midin shibut, but because the Gazlan stole the karka and he ate the Peros, he's got to pay not only for the karka, which means he has to replace the karka and give it back to the nigzal, but he also has to pay for the Peros that he ate. He's govim b'nechasim b'nei chorin. Here it's called b'nei chorin. So it's not one case that the Braisa is addressing, as Rabbah and before him Rav understood the Raisa, but rather it's two different cases, two different lawsuits. There's one Toveah, which is called the lokeach. When we say lokeach, we mean the first lokeach, and he wants to collect from the second lokeach. That's called gova min echasim b'nei chorin, but not from an echasim mishubadim. And then we have another lawsuit where the nigzal is coming to sue the gazlan. He's saying, well, you have to pay me not only the keren, but you have to pay me for the peiros as well. And if you ate my peiros, you have to pay for that. And that's a absolutely reliable binding claim. So once again, this brisa does not contradict Rav Nachman, because when we're not talking about a case where the nigzal, I'm sorry, let me start the other way, where the gazlan is paying the nigzal more than what the nigzal paid him. Because the tviya here, the claim, the lawsuit is against the gazlan himself. And the gazlan here is going to have to pay for peiros. If we wanted to slug up Rav Nachman, then we would be addressing a case where the nigzal, I'm sorry, scratch that, where the lokeach is suing the gazlan. If the lokeach is suing the gazlan, then you have a problem of mechse keribis, because the lokeach is suing for the gazlan for X beyond the sales price, whatever that X is. And he wants to get back more money, let's call it shvach, more money than what he actually paid for this karka. So the sale price was X, and now we're talking about X plus Y. Well, that's going to be Mechseh Keribis. But that's not the subject of the brisa. This brisa doesn't even touch, in remote control, anything that deals with ribis. Now the Gemara is going to study Rava and Rava. Bein la Rava, Bein la Rava, Bein la Rava, Bein la Rava Barav Huna. Either one of these interpretations of the Brisa, where the original Nigzal is coming to claim the Keren from the Gazlan, and both Rava and Rav Barav Huna agree that the Nigzal is claiming Keren from the Gazlan. Frek the Gemara, Milve Balpehu, Umilve Balpeh, Eina Govi Minachasim Ishu Badim. Why does this brisa discuss the possibility of what? Of the Nigzal, if in event that the Gazlan can't pay him, the Nigzal's recourse to collect from the Lekuchos of the Gazlan. How is that so? What do you mean collect for the Lekuchos of the Gazlan? For what? You're going to collect for Gzela? Gzela is a Milva Balpeh. Let's try to understand this Gemara. When you buy Karka, and now as a Lokeach, there's a lien on the karka, such that the Baal Chov can now collect from the Lokeach. The Lokeach has to know, he has to be appraised of the fact that he's buying karka that's mishubedes to a Baal Chov. And the modus, the method by which we notify, or shall I say, the lokeach finds out about this lien, and he's aware, he acknowledges this lien, is called a shtar. A shtar transforms a milva bal peh into a milva sheyesh la shibudim. That's what the shtar accomplishes. We even went as far as to say that achrayis tov sofer. That's what the shtar has to function. Somebody comes along, we're talking about the lokeach sheni, and he buys karka from a gazlan. The gazlan owes chiyuvei gzela to the nigzal. How is the lokeach supposed to know about that? By what method? Is there a shtar between the Gazlan and the Nigzal? Did the Gazlan write a shtar in front of two Edim? I hereby commission two Edim to write up a shtar that I stole this karka and I owe it back to the Nigzal. Ridiculous. There was no such shtar. We have to protect the rights now of the Lokeach. The Lokeach doesn't have to be responsible for a chov. If that chov is a milv balpeh, in other words, if that Lokeach has no way of knowing about that chov, that's not a shibut. So why does this brisa say that in the case of a gazlan, the nigzal has rights to collect from mishubadim? And again, the brisa limits it. The mishubadim he can collect from the lakuthas only as far as keren is concerned, but not as far as peros. Fine. But let's go back to the keren itself. What right, what justification does the nigzal have to force the lokeach to pay for keren in a case where the gazlan can't pay the keren? How is this lokeach meant to find out what makes him responsible for a shibud? Every shibud is taken upon a lokeach as a voluntary decision. He buys the karka knowing that there's a shibud on the karka, and it could be, you know, liachar, you know, down the line he'll have to forego on this karka. He'll have to. The karka will be collected from him. How is he supposed to know this in a case of gzela? What little birdie is going to whisper into the ears of the lokeach, hey, this guy's a gazlan. He has a chiyuv to pay for gzela. And you're going to be called upon to back up that chiyuv in event that the gazlan defaults on the loan. So basically, what the Gemara is looking for is what I call publicity. We need to find some sort of mechanism by which the chiyuv of the gazlan to the nigzal is public information. So that now when the lokeach buys karka from this gazlan, he's meant to understand fully well that he's buying karka mishubedes, because the chov of the nigzal is public knowledge. That's a real problem. Most gazlanim do not publicize their gzela. You know, they don't put in the front cover of the newspaper, hey, I just stole a piece of karka, and if I owe this karka to the nigzal, such that if anybody buys my the rest of my real estate portfolio, he's going to be held responsible to pay back my gzela. So the Gemara answers, Hachem Mayaskinon Bisha Amad Bidin Vehadar Zovin. Says the Gemara, the sale of the property to the Lokeach succeeded the Hamad Bidin. So we have time T1 and time T2. At time T1, the Nigzal sues the Gazlan in Bezdin. At time T2, somebody buys a piece of karka from this Gazlan. If this Lokeach would have come to you and I to ask, what do you think? How do you like this karka? You know, it's got a sunny, you know, eastern side. It's got a rain, this location. So what are you going to tell him? You're going to tell him I recommend buying the karka? You fool! Why are you buying a karka? There's a lawsuit against this gazlan who's selling you karka. And not only was there a lawsuit, it was Amad Bidin. So that the Bezdin came to a definite conclusion that this nigzal, is a gazlan, and he will pay for the karka that he stole. That's public information. Now you go ahead and buy his karka? What are you, stupid? That's the last person in the world you want to buy karka from. for a number of reasons. But if you buy it, then you're buying it with a shibud. Ah, if you're buying with a shibud, then the nigzal can now, he has recourse to collect from you, Mr. Lokeach, because there's a shibud on the karka. And here's where the b'risa, Man Kedisli decides, you know, what is the extent of that shibud. So Gemara says, Ihachi, if you're telling me that the nigzal has already been, there was already Amada Bedin, is that be the case? Is Peros Nami? The Shibud, now should extend to include Peros. That's the Gemara's Kasha. Why? Because it was Hamad Abedin. So the Nigzal should have recourse to collect his peros from the Lokeach. I don't understand what the Gemara is talking about. Peros is Metaltalin. There's no Shibud on Metaltalin. And the Gemara, I think, is now breaking new ground on the whole concept of Shibud. And the Gemara is saying, I couldn't care less whether it's karka or metaltalin. I only have to answer one question. Is it public knowledge or is it not public knowledge? When Beis Din decided, they handed down a verdict against the Gazlan, what was that verdict? The verdict was that the Gazlan plays X plus Y. He's going to pay Karen, and he's going to pay Peros. 100 and another 10. At this point, there's a shibud for the Lokeach on the up to the tune of 110. Ah, you'll ask me a question. 100 was for karka. You bought a karka that's worth 100. That karka is Meshubad. Why do you have to pay up the Peros? Why does the Nigzal have recourse to sue you, Mr. Lokeach, for Peros? That's Metaltalin. The answer is, even Metaltalin lend themselves to Shibud. The only problem with Metaltalin is nobody knows about it. Now Rav Soloveitchik used to call this Betichus. I don't know exactly LP Digduk if that's correct Digduk, but that's, he used to call it Betichus. Betichus means that the Balchov knows that he can collect this karka from Mishubad. And what gives him the betichus? What guarantees that he'll be able to collect this from the shibud? The fact that he has a shtar. Here, you don't even need a shtar, because the nigzal has absolute betichus that he could collect this chov that's owed to him by the nigzal by virtue of Hamad Abedin. Once it was Hamad Abedin, and Beis Din has already established that the Nigzal has to pay the Gazlan, not just 100, but 110. If the Lokeach buys that karka, then he has a shibud to the tune of 110. And why? Because even though it's a milva balpeh, but it's a milva balpeh mefursa. Everybody knows about it. It's on the front covers of the local rag. Why? Because Beis Din was mamed in Bedin. And I'll tell you the truth, this reminds me of the sugya called Apotiki. You remember that sugya? So what happens is that the Lova has a donkey. I'm just giving you an example. And he says to the Malva that you could collect from this donkey. If that donkey is sold, then it's very possible that the Malver, the Balchov, will collect that donkey from the Lekuchos, even though it's metaltal. Why? Because it's an apotiki. Once an apotiki, then it has a special din of shibud, that the shibud could be chal even on metaltal. Let's see the Gemara inside. The Gemara says, Ihachi, if you're right, that the court already issued its final din to be mechayev the Gazlan to pay not only the keren, but also the peros. Is peros nami? There should be a shibud even on the peros. Now, how can there be a shibud on the peros? What's the Gemara talking about? There's no shibud on peros. There's no shibud on metaltalin. And the Gemara answers, no, I'm sorry. And the Kash of the Gemara is based on the fact that there is shibud on metaltalin. If the metaltalin is a famous, well-known public chov. And the Gemara answers, Kisha Omad Bidin ala Keren, Velo Omad Bidin ala Peros. Now, wait a second. I don't get what's going on. The Nigzal is suing the Gazlan. He's suing him for two things. He wants to get the Keren, he wants to get the Peros. I mean, after all, this Gazlan stole his Peros. He didn't only steal his Karka. He wants to get reimbursed for both. No, there was only a Psak Din on the Keren. And not on the payrolls. Why would Beis Din do such a thing? You come to sue me in a court, and Beis Din decide on karka, which is called keren, and not on payrolls? You're suing me for both keren and payrolls. My paske. Why would the Beis Din do such a thing? And the Gemara answers, Stama de Milsa, Kitava Inish, Karna Tava Bereisha, and only afterwards he's Tovea Peros. So at the time that the Lokeach purchased the Karka, there was only Amada Bedin on the Karen, there was no Amada Bedin on the Peros. I don't get it. Stama de Milsa, Kika Tava Inish, Karna Tava Bereisha. I mean, again, I don't know, on a psychological level, you could say that, you know, the Karen of the Karka is worth a heck of a lot more than the Peros. I mean, the Karka produced one annual, you know, winter crop of spring crop of payrolls, but next year it's going to produce that much more for the ad infinitum, so obviously the kak is worth a lot more than the payrolls of one single harvest, of one crop. But it's got to be deeper than that. The Gemara can't be so superficial to say that there's a two-stage process here. And first, the Nigzal is going to be Tovea Karka. I mean, I have to sleep on it, but I'll tell you what I'm thinking now. I mean, again, it needs a lot more work. Maybe what the Gemara is saying is that there are two separate Mechayivim here. There's one Mechayiv called Gzela, and there's another Mechayiv called Mazik. Well, let me say it even a little bit better. In Hilchas Gzela, there are two Mechayvim. There's Gzela's Karka, and there's Gzela's Metaltalin. These Peros, since they're omdimli botzer, they're fully ripened, they have the status of Metaltalin. You need a separate Tvia on the Metaltalin. You cannot be, it's not, you know, we spoke once about Kinyan Agav, that I could sell you Metaltalin Agav Karka and we see it as one entity. But in Hilchas Beis Din, you have no right, legally, to sue someone for Metaltalin as part of your lawsuit for Karka. They're two separate tvios, two separate mechayvim, two separate entities. Perhaps we could say it a little better. Maybe this Gazlan was an apprentice. Maybe he was an oris. Maybe he took the Kai of the Peros for any number of reasons. Maybe there was a sale of Peros and the Gazlan bought the Peros. Who says that the Gazlan is guilty of Gzelon Peros? The answer is because he stole karka that had peros on them. Well, first you have to be toveya the karka. Once Beis Din will come to the conclusion that this karka belongs to the nigzal the toveya and not to the gazlan, at that point, and only at that point, does the toveya the nigzal have rights to claim the peros as a separate thing. Now, the Gemara's language is Kisha Amad Bedin ala Keren Velo Amad Bedin ala Peros. What's missing in my Gemara, maybe it's in your Gemara because you have Steinsaltz, I'm just joking, are the words Hacha B'mayas Kinon. If I would have written this Gemara, and I'm not such a bucky in the literature of Gemara, but I would tell you this. I would have written Hachem Amayaskina. The Gemara leaves out the words Hachem Amayaskina. I think deliberately so. The Gemara is not looking for Eichet Timtza. The Gemara is saying Al Pi Din, there has to be two tviyos. There's got to be a tviyah on Karka. That gives you the basis to go on to the next level and be Tovea Peros. You want to be Tovea Peros? What kind of tviyah do you have on Peros? Maybe he bought the peros. Maybe he was an aris and he gets, you know, a third, a half of the peros. I don't know why he took the peros. What proof do you have? What leg do you stand? The answer is because the karka is mine. And if the karka is mine, then the burden of proof is on him to prove, Mr. Gazlan, that you had rights to those peros. Bezdin is not going to believe the Gazlan to say, well, I was an aris. What do you mean an aris? You stole the karka. Once it's a psak din on Gzela's karka, now and only now could there be a tviya on the peros. Otherwise, what leg do you have to stand on? Somebody stole your peros? Go prove it. You have Adim that he stole your peros? He snuck into your field in the middle of the night and he stole your peros? He's been in possession of this karka for the last 5 months. And he's eating the peros like a bailim. Name, he's a ganav. He's a gazlan. How do I know it? I'm going to prove it in Beis Din. Once I prove that he's a gazlan in Beis Din, then if he claims he had rights to these peros, the burden of proof shifts to him. And now we're talking about a case where Beis Din gave a psak on the karka. There was no amud bedin on the peros, and therefore the lekuchos are not responsible to back up the chov of the nigzal of the gazlan vis-a-vis the peros. But I think the most radical conclusion that we get from this Gemara is that there's no gzeres hakasuv as far as shibudim are concerned and collecting from the lekuchos of a distinction between karka and metalta. Even if I grant you the metalta have the status of, I'm sorry, the peros have the status of metalta, and there still is a shibud collectible from the lokeh from vis-a-vis the peros because of hamad bedin, and that hamad bedin effectuates and generates a shibud even on metal. All right, then we'll stop here.